So Abram went as the Lord told him. This is probably the shortest call story in all of Scripture. Four verses, three of them are God speaking to Abram. The fourth line simply is saying, Abram went. Abram doesn't say, not me, God, I'm not prepared, I'm not capable. And he sure couldn't say, I'm too young, God, because he was 75 years old. No excuses for him. He didn't even try to make any excuses. He just packed up his gear and his family and his goods and left. And went to who knew where. He had no destination. God was asking him to do the most amazing thing. Go to a place, I'll show you. I don't know about you, but when I travel, I like to have a map. I don't want just a GPS, I want the map. I want the big picture of where this road might go and that road might go, and I like to have reservations too. And just in case something happens along the way, I always have my little emergency kit with food, especially M&Ms and dried fruit and nuts. But the M&Ms are important. But Abraham, as he became known, just upped and went. He cashed in everything he knew and left everything he knew to go to the place that God would show him. Now that is faith. And there are a lot of you here who know that kind of faith because you left your homelands, you left family, you came to a new country, and you lived in hope. And that's what Abraham had to do when he left. He lived in hope for what God promised would be, not what already was, but what would be. And then we have Nicodemus. Nicodemus thinks that Jesus really must come from God because otherwise, he couldn't do all the things he's doing. But there's something a little wobbly in his faith because he comes at night. He's not ready to proclaim that he really believes this Jesus. But you know, he is a religious leader in the community. And if he became associated with Jesus, who knows what all he might lose? He could lose his position. His tenure in the church might be ending soon if he was aligned to Jesus. Not really the church, the synagogue. His power might be eclipsed. People would question him, maybe ostracize him. So maybe we can give him a break for coming in the dark of the night to see Jesus. But then when Jesus talks to him, he is so focused on one aspect. Jesus says to him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Born from above. We usually hear this translated being born again. And it creates a whole lot of, you know, weight upon some people. Because being born again to them means you have to be born again or you're not a Christian. And some of you have grown up in that kind of a tradition where there's a lot of emphasis on that idea. And yet what the word is that Jesus uses here in Greek actually comes from an adverb, ano, which means above or on top. Or any of these things that are way up here. particular little adverb doesn't use the word again ever. It's always above. So what Jesus is talking to Nicodemus about here is that there's supposed to be something coming from above to cause his rebirth. But Nicodemus is so literal-minded. You know people like that. You're going to be born, you got to come out of a womb. I got to come out of a womb, I'm a grown man. This isn't going to happen, Jesus. And so Nicodemus gets in his head, this cannot be done. He can only see it that one way. And yet he is a leader of the church. So some of these things should, I would hope, be able to pierce through that. Jesus has to try again. And Jesus says, truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. Water and spirit. It seems to me that this leader of the church should think of one thing and one thing only when he hears water and spirit. In the beginning, when God created the heaven and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the faces of the waters. The beginning of all new things, the beginning of creation, is in water, darkness, and the wind, or the Ruach of God. The wind of God is the Spirit. And so Jesus is telling Nicodemus, you need to be open to the possibility of coming in out of the dark, finding the light as there was at creation, and finding new creation, new life within yourself. And the power to make that happen is the Spirit. God. Nicodemus still doesn't get it. Still does not get it. And so Jesus has got to keep trying. He's not going to give up on this. So Jesus says, the wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. I don't know about the Presbyterian churches where you grew up, or about the churches you might have grown up in that weren't Presbyterian. But Presbyterians in my traditional background did talk about the Spirit a lot. But without the Spirit, we are flat. We're empty. There's no dimension to our lives, to our faith. And if we're open to the Spirit, Jesus is telling Nicodemus, you'll hear it. You won't necessarily know where it comes from. Abram apparently heard God speak that said, pick up your stuff and move. Doesn't say how. Just implies Abram heard God. That's what the Spirit does. It weaves in and out of the life of people. But we can hear it whisper to us, Abram, pick up your stuff and move. Take a risk. Go to a new place and make your life there. Stick your neck out. See what might happen if you speak up for the injustices. The Spirit speaks quietly. Not necessarily where we expect or when we expect, but it speaks to us. And Nicodemus still does not understand. And finally, Jesus looks at Nicodemus and says, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Are you a lifetime Christian and still you do not get these things? That God speaks to us, leads us, wants us to do things that are new, that are different, that are maybe a little threatening? That we have to step out of our comfort zone sometimes in order for God's will to be done?" So then Jesus begins to speak to all of the leaders, because it changes from that little singular you to a plural you. We like to say that's you all. Or if you come from where I come from, it's y'all. Y'all. Okay, so Jesus is talking to y'all. And is basically saying, "You leaders of the church, of the synagogue, do not understand earthly things. You're locked in to where you have been always, and you will not budge. And if you cannot understand the earthly things, how are you going to understand the things of the Spirit? How are you going to understand the things of heaven, of God's kingdom?" And Jesus' suggestion to these leaders of the synagogues is, remember your Old Testament, folks. Remember your Hebrew scripture. When they were in the wilderness, the Israelites were being stung by all these serpents. And God saved them because he had Moses put this copper serpent upon a pole. And if they would look at that pole with that copper snake with faith, they would be healed and they would be saved from that poisonous venom. And Jesus is suggesting, if you will look at me up on a cross, maybe you'll finally understand that God will save you. And maybe that is what it's going to take before you'll finally get it. Once you see me on the cross, maybe you're going to get it. Because why did God send him into the world? That verse everybody memorizes and knows so well. God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. That's God's intention. And eternal life is also a life lived constantly in companionship with God, being open to the possibilities of the Spirit moving and working in our lives. It's that crazy little voice that makes ministers become ministers against their will. It's that crazy little voice that makes people pick up and move to a new place, whether it's another country or it's another part of, say, the United States. And within congregations, it's that little voice that says, yeah, you know, we've never done it this way, but maybe we should try it. It might be good. And maybe we'll fall flat on our face. But if we do, we know God is with us. We have those words of Psalm 121 that we used as our opening for our call to worship. And God is our help, always present. In the burning noonday sun and in the chill of a desert night, God is with us all our days. And wants only that we will be saved and that we will know eternal life. During this season of readings, there's going to be a constant question before us. Who are these people in the scripture saying Jesus is? And then we have to turn the questions to ourselves and say, who do I say Jesus is? Nicodemus says he's a great man who must be from God. End of story. Are we like Nicodemus and we can't hear that voice of the Spirit? Or are we like Abram, ready to embrace God and God's vision for us, for our congregation, and for the world? Who do we say Christ is? Who do I say Christ is? Let us pray. God, with all the noises around us, it's so easy to block you out. Help us to open our minds, our hearts, to your Spirit, that we may be born from above and be your faithful children forever. Amen.